Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. Streaming live on the free Odyssey app. We're also live on iHeartRadio and TuneIn. You can stream us live. You can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. There were some nuts out there on the table where you can just grasp, and I just picked up five.
Yeah.
Five or six. Spicy.
That's because they're from India.
Why? Who put the nuts out there?
I brought them. So my neighbor.
I kind of liked them, but.
My neighbor's Indian, and his mom came to town for. She comes to town for like 6 months at a time, and she brought some nuts for me. So I think they're cashews, but they've got Indian spices.
Yeah.
So I brought them in just to see if you guys would like them.
Right.
I would say I like them, but I wasn't necessarily
spicy.
Prepared
I'm not
for
into
the
spicy. I'm out.
Oh, okay.
I'm out on that.
Right, well, they're out there if you want to check them out.
Yeah. All right. So what do you think? Are the Nats in better shape now here in the short term? Both these guys are interim. That, you know, you can't overstate that. They may get full-time gigs. Who knows? Cairo named yesterday as the manager on an interim basis. He's done this before, right? He replaced La Russa a few years ago. I think he went 18-16 in his 34-game stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And then DiBartolo, who I guess was hired here as an intern 10 or so years ago and has been assistant general manager, whatever his current title was.
Assistant GM.
Now he's been elevated to the interim GM. He's more of an analytics-based guy, apparently. He had some four or five guys that were anonymously quoted as saying it's, you know, kind of a completely different way of thinking about things, and that they're excited for this.
Yeah, if you read the article by Spencer Nussbaum and Andrew Golden in the Washington Post, pretty interesting when you read about how apparently the front office feels about this switch to DiBartolo. Apparently, DiBartolo had a video conference with members of the baseball operations department.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave his short-term priorities, and he said what the owners, apparently, the powers that they gave him.
Mm-hmm.
So his first big deal is he's got to figure out who they're going to pick in the draft, right? They got the top pick. But one of the people who commented in this article said he's going to be integrating our analytics into our day-to-day work stream a lot more. He's going to be pushing for us to catch up on the tech side. I think that we've done the work, the diligence to know what is out there, what we like to do, and now it's just kind of operationalizing it from there. So,
a lot of generalities there. I mean, of course the front office is going to be positive after making the change.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe, you know, I mean, there's no way that Rizzo was telling Mike DiBartolo, no, we're not doing that. We're not, you know, he wants to make the team better. Maybe it had something to do with the cost. And maybe ownership wouldn't spend money on it.
Look, I'm just saying that this Post article makes it seem like there's a different approach from DiBartolo.
Okay, but he was the assistant GM. I can't imagine Riz would just tune him out every time he talked analytics.
No, I'm not saying that he tuned out, but there might be more of an emphasis now versus Rizzo's approach.
Well, it's
that's at least what these five people who all remained anonymous said.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of pointed to a different style and a different emphasis.
What were you going to say, Valdez?
It's a huge philosophical switch.
Yes.
For instance, if an organization is fully embracing this analytics and tech model, the game is basically pre-played before they're on the field. Meaning, if they bring in this reliever, this is who we're subbing in to pinch hit. If X is the starter, this is the lineup that we need to go with. If this person's playing, this is the shift that we're going to do. It's kind of a...
Yeah, but I feel like they embraced a lot of that.
No,
remember, Dusty was the one that they said didn't embrace any of that.
Yeah. I don't believe for a second Rizzo didn't embrace that.
But
Davey didn't either. I don't believe that for a second. But there's a varying degree of it.
This is what one front office
agreed. It could be a greater degree. I don't think it's a completely philosophical difference. I don't believe that.
What I'd say is, to me, just my perception is, Miguel Cairo feels like more of the same. He's basically Davey's right-hand man. He's a bench coach. You know, done that before. they're passing the baton to Cairo. It seems to me, just reading this, that DiBartolo is very different than Rizzo. In fact, one employee in the article said, where I'd most readily start is this is not hiring Mike Rizzo's assistant. Even if that's what it is in practice, this is a very different person. Very different. Said if people are looking for the new age, analytically minded, have his own ideas person, that's what you're getting here with the institutional knowledge of the people in the group that he's working with.
All right, well,
and then all five of these anonymous sources, they seem to credit DiBartolo for the Soto trade. Obviously, Rizzo has to approve it, but apparently he was masterminding it before they made the trade.
It's kind of like what we heard about Adam Peters when he was in San Francisco.
This poll is goofy. It's just like the stories we do, the study from that says you need 10 hours of sleep a night from a mattress company. Right? Yeah. It's the same thing. These guys all want to keep their jobs. Of course they're going to say, oh yeah, things are great. This guy's an amazing, everything's super positive here. We're looking to the future. They're not going to say it's doom and gloom. They want the learners to keep him so everyone keeps their job. You can't have an opinion a day in. You're not going to say anything negative about him.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be positive.
It's a flawed poll. I mean, let's take any credence in that.
Let's see what happens to me in the rest of the way. But at the bottom line is if you don't have the talent, I don't care. You can throw all the philosophical, you know, spew out there. I don't care. If you don't have the talent, you're not going to beat the majority of the teams you play.
Yeah,
and they don't have the overall talent to have 500 seasons.
Right, but part of that has been the drafting.
I understand that. I'm talking about in-game stuff.
I know, but if they can improve the – look, you're not going to see a difference this year. But if they can improve over the next few years some of the drafting and the farm system stuff.
Okay, well, if they retain him and he's the GM next year going forward, all right, let's see what kind of a difference there is. Yeah. But the ownership also has to increase the payroll. They've got to double the payroll, all right? They've got to go out and get Kyle Tucker, or they've got to go out and get Brent Rooker, one of these free agents. They've got to put talent around the young guys.
Yeah, but I'm looking long term. I'm not looking like this year. Like this year, I don't think you're going to see any difference.
I'm saying the next 2 or 3 years, if ownership says, all right, we're going to keep our payroll down, but DiBartolo is this math genius, that ain't going to win divisions.
Jason, you have to come to the realization that 2012 and 2018 are not going to happen again. Like this is their new formula. They're not going to.
You might be right.
They're not going to give a GM a blank checkbook and tell you to go build me a competitive team. They're going to have a shoestring budget. They're going to keep the payroll low.
Well, I don't think that'll work.
That's not going to work.
If that's the new plan, I don't think that's going to work.
It's not going to work in this division.
It's a harder window to navigate through, but it is possible. You have a lot more things that need to go right for it to happen.
I refuse to accept that we're just going to be a low budget team for here on out. I just refuse to accept that.
But I think that you may be right that this particular ownership group may do that. You might be right on that.
Maybe they will. But I don't think they'll succeed.
And based on their track record, because Ted is the guy who was spending money. It wasn't Mark. It was Ted, his dad. Ted's not around. So Mark and whoever else is making the decision financially probably have a totally different opinion. But you may be right. If that's the case, they're not going to the playoffs unless all these young draft picks become superstars, and the odds of that aren't great.
Do you believe in the rebuild with these guys now in charge?
Just because these guys are in charge? No, I don't believe it.
I put that up as our poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can is only 100 calories. Zero carbonation, that means it's easy sipping. We love our Surfsides. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety. 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. I'd agree with you. I don't necessarily believe in the rebuild because the owners... I keep saying owners. I guess we're going to say Mark Lerner. In the article, it talks about his guy, Gottlieb. Is it Gottlieb?
The CEO or COO or whatever. Other guys, yeah.
But I don't believe they're going to change their ways. Yeah, Alan Gottlieb.
I mean, if they're going to have a shoestring budget, the chances of them making the playoffs are going to be very tough, of course, against
a team with a blank checkbook.
But you don't have to have a blank checkbook. You just got to increase it by 30, 40, 50%.
But this
you can't have a payroll of $70 million and expect to win games in that division. You've got to double that payroll. So if they're at $70 million, bump it to $140 million, get a couple more bats in that lineup with, you know, to someone protect
and
James
then you
Wood.
You still have to hit on all your guys.
Well, I mean, the Dylan Cruz and the Brady Houses of the world have to
hit. I mean, how about we had Sean Casey on? He has questions about Dylan Cruz.
Yeah. I'm not going to give up on Dylan Cruz just because, I mean, this year, toss it out because he's missed the entire year.
I'm not giving
year,
up on
much.
Him, but my eyebrows are raised.
Year three, if you don't see significant improvement, yeah, you might be right.
Let's go to Shane. Shane, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks. What do you think?
What's going on? No, right now, what's going on, Junks and Morning to you? Right now, I don't trust anything they're learning. As long as they own this team, we're going to be a farm league for the MLB. That's a fact. We need pitching. How do you win in this league? Pitching. We've not had pitching since we were World Series with Scherzer and all those guys. But the thing about it is unless they don't spend money, like we're the Bengals of the National League. I mean, the MLB, right? We got to spend money. And what's to say James Woods and these guys, when it comes time, they don't want to be here, right? We got to keep the guys that are here. But at the same time, you got to win. Winning solves everything. But right now, we can't even get out of it. I mean, we're in our own way right now, and we got to do something. But no, as long as the learners own this team, no, we will be a. And I agree with Matt 100%. That little survey they did is just BS. And we need help. And I don't know what we're going to do, but as long as they own it, no. I'm done with the Nats until they can figure it out.
All right. Thank you, Shane. Appreciate it.
What do you think is going to happen in 2027?
All right.
Okay. When Mackenzie Gore is in his final year of arbitration.
I think he'll be gone by then.
Yeah, he may. I mean, he might.
You'll have to move him before.
But that's my point. If you want to, you talk about pitching, if you want to keep the young pitching stars, and this is a guy that they traded Soto for, are you going to just give up on him and because you don't want to pay him? Based on what Mark Lerner has done the last few years, you'd probably say yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that, yeah, they're going to lose half or more of their superstars when they come up. Mm-hmm. That I do believe. Let's go to Glenn in Sterling. Glenn, what's up?
Well, what's up is I have zero, nada, no faith. They've sucked all of my optimism out of me. The bottom line is we still got the same owners, and they seem to have a let-them-eat-cake attitude. Where are they? Why do they keep throwing? I'm glad Davey got out of this mess. I was bleeding for him with these stupid pregame and postgame and the same stuff. And I mean, I'm glad he should be relieved because he'll find somewhere to work. And as far as Rizzo, all these years, it's always been the same line. I've got the resources. And then when you had him on and that whole discussion about the machine, and I heard him yammering and yabbering and coming up with, oh, we're going to get it. I'm saying, why don't you just say the truth? And it is about resources. You don't have them.
Well, it's hard for a guy in that position to trash his boss.
Yeah, he's not going
to
kill his boss.
I mean, you got to understand that.
He lost his job anyway, didn't he?
Well, I guarantee if you talked to him now, he probably would.
He'd probably be like,
yeah, I mean,
he'd probably tell you the truth. Anyway.
Yeah. They wouldn't get the trajectory.
Look, listen, I think Mike handled himself as best as he could.
He had an every other year contract. If he was that miserable and everybody says he can get a job tomorrow, he should have gone. He should have taken advantage of it. Instead, he stood in front and came up with the same over and over and over line. We have the resources. If I go to them, I'll get the money. And then you find out 25 out of 30 teams have a machine that he couldn't get. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't have any faith. I don't believe in the learners. This is a show me time. It's not a we're going to time. It's a show me time.
So the fact that they have this, that they've turned the reins over to this DiBartolo guy who's more allegedly, but way more analytics minded than Mike, you know, a newer school sort of philosophy. Yeah, so
same
it doesn't
owner.
Doesn't impact you.
Doesn't the same owner, same tight-fisted, where's the money coming from? They got to go to them just to buy Ziploc bags? I don't know. But if that's the bottom line, is at the top. I mean, we all know it's at the top. You can tell by the calls you're getting. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, thank
anyway,
you, Glenn.
That's why I have no faith.
All right, thank you, buddy.
I think that's fair. I just looked at the early voting. You can vote at Junks Radio. 85%. I don't have faith, much like that caller.
I think Nats fans should be a little more encouraged because once you accept that this ownership, this is how the ownership group is going to act. The new GM kind of follows their creed, their credence about how what they want to do. Like Mike would be a great GM on a team that's willing to open up their pockets and spend a little more. But when you're hamstrung like this, I think this is the general manager where you need to find a 1% edge on whatever analytics equation that you're throwing out there for that game that day to do.
I think it's a lot harder to win that way.
I know it's a lot harder, but this is but philosophies finally align between the GM and the ownership group. Mm-hmm. At least you would hope so. Mm-hmm. At least that's encouraging because he knows what he has to do. He knows he has to go find a starting pitcher who will be your fourth or fifth starter for $3 million that can give you the production of a number two.
I'm just
on the scrap heap of all free agent pitchers out there.
As cheap as the learners have been in the last few years,
that ain't happening.
I'm just not willing to accept that they've decided that we're going to be the Pirates. I just can't accept
that. It's hard to accept that.
But what's
shown you that they haven't?
The previous 10 years when they did spend money.
Well, things change.
That's the problem, that things change, and that's a different person spending the money.
Or is it that, and it makes perfect sense, they knew they were going to suck for a few years, and they were going to tighten the belt.
Buying some time.
Yeah. Mm. Buying some time, and then when they think that they're more competitive, I'm maintaining that seems like a plausible theory.
This would have been the year to add some bigger pieces because you had Wood, Abrams, and Gore.
I thought they would have added a little bit. I thought they would have added a little bit.
You got two All-Stars. Yeah. Arguably three, because Abrams was one last year.
Yeah. No, I think you're right.
And this would have been the year to add a couple pieces around them, not Josh Bell and Nate Lowe.
Well, if we're just going to be the Pirates.
And Rosario.
I'm out. If we're just the Pirates, I'm officially out.
Yeah, well. You've said that before, though.
No, but this is real. This is real.
All right, got to take a break if you want to chime in. 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Be right back. Hey, Bishbucks, remember, if you're doing the Throwback Thursday, you got to give Valdez your songs ahead of time.
That's right. When do you need those?
Wednesday morning would be nice.
Okay. I'll have them Wednesday morning.
Hey, Valdez, you tell people what you were researching and you found out regarding Cakes today?
Oh, Cakes is the big stack at his feature table.
And he's at one of the tables in the TV room.
Yeah, Cakes told us yesterday that he was going to be in the TV room. It might have been Monday. That he is in the TV room. So Poker Go has a room where they have cameras. They have like journalists in there running from table to table to do updates. So there's a good possibility that you'll see Cakes on TV. Well, it's not really TV, but it's on YouTube. So Poker Go is doing a YouTube that starts at 6 o'clock tonight, our time. I tweeted out the link, but if you just type in WSOP day 3, I'm sure it will come up on your YouTube, but I have the link tweeted out.
So is this now what you have? Is it going to be actually Cakes' table or is that the TV table?
I don't know. He's in the TV room.
Right.
And so there's multiple cameras. So
they'll be bouncing around from table
even
to table.
So even though there will, I think there is a featured table, which is underneath the lights with like the whole production crew.
Right.
They have people who bounce around in that same room with like just a regular handheld camcorder thing that they're setting up for like big pots and stuff like that and interviews. So there's a possibility Case could be interviewed. You'll see him possibility.
Do you think
a tussling with another player?
Do you think Cakes' entertainment instinct that he has will kick in if he's at a TV table? Will Cakes ramp it up, or will he just be the mute that he normally is at a poker table?
He'll be the mute.
No, this is Cakes' lifelong dream.
This is too serious?
Yeah, this is too serious.
You don't think he's going to do shtick?
I don't think this is like the Cakes classic.
I think his entertainment instinct is going to kick in when he sees that red light.
It would definitely kick in.
I think it's going to.
Because everyone else is going to be clamming up at the table, probably. Uh-huh. And Cakes is just naturally doesn't like the awkwardness, so he knows he can do it. So he could.
And but he's on TV every day. He's going to light up. He's going to light up a little bit. I actually think he lights up a little bit when he does his updates. Like, his updates are pretty entertaining.
So that's at 6 tonight.
6 tonight. You can throw your YouTube on your smart TV. and you'll be able to watch Cakes and 65 Inches of Glory.
Right.
I also retweeted Valdez's tweet at Junks Radio if you didn't see it, which has the link.
Right, right.
All right, cool.
All right, let me tell you what's going on quickly here.
It's top 10% that cash, correct? So
yes.
So say there was 10,000 players, 1,000 will cash.
Roughly. I would say, like, listen, Rahm and Brett, you know, our former producer, Brett Oliveira, we love, they're already talking about flying out there for the final table. It's like a less than 1% chance he gets to the final table. Right? But it's insanity.
But it's a much better chance to cash.
Cash, he's probably at about 30%.
I think you have to be in like the top 1,400 to cash.
Yeah, so
it's more than 10%.
He's probably
he's a patient fella at the table. He'll just wait it out.
Yeah, but still, you gotta have chips. You gotta, you know, just there's so many people you have to.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a minefield.
It's a minefield. Yeah, and there's so many bad beats you have to dodge.
And the blinds will start increasing.
I mean, the chances of him getting to the final table literally are like 0.2% or something.
My friend. Wacky Jackie showed me the link because he said he was watching it last night.
Yeah.
And he said that you can tell that when people have a big stack and sit on the big stack and play premiums, no one engages with them whatsoever to play.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, that's what he has to do too. But luckily, he's the big stack. But now, I hope he doesn't get a little too carried away being the big stack because he could be a little friskier because you're less vulnerable, right? You can't be taken out in any one hand.
He said you need to play some pots or people will just give you no action for the entire night.
For sure. And Cakes mentioned that he's been doing that. He's been playing, you know, suited connectors and everything. He's not just sitting on queens or better.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's anybody here amongst us that's ready for it, it's Cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Although I will say that Valdez has a natural instinct for poker. The few times I've seen Valdez play, he's been very, you know, done very well. But Cakes has been, he's been preparing for this for a decade.
Yeah, he's been playing for a long time.
Yeah, and like dedicated to it.
JP would, I just would love to see him go for the quick double up.
JP, yeah.
I'm going all in.
I'm
going to
the food court. get my chocolate shake.
I'm just going to go in blind here.
Yeah. That's what I would do.
Cakes has been planning for this. He's been preparing for this. This has been his dream. So so far, so good. It's pretty exciting.
And if he cashes, he's going back.
Well, he needs to be free rolled. I don't think he's going to keep spending.
What I'm saying, if he cashes, that company that free rolled him, I bet you will do the same thing.
They'll be happy. Yeah, for sure.
Isn't this so much better than. Like, could you imagine? Because Cakes has been looking forward to this for years, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It's always been kind of ramping up to it. Can you imagine if he got, like, bad beated and busted on day one? Like, just
The letdown,
the letdown, the will to go back. Like, it wouldn't have reached his excitement that he had to go out there.
Well, he's definitely going to, it's definitely going to encourage him to come back.
Yeah.
The fact that he's done so well so far.
I think that he might play in more events if he cashed. Like he would go
out there. Well, this is the end. This is the big one.
I know, but go out there for the beginning, kind of the satellite events.
Right. He did play. Did he play one of the Venetian events? One of the deep stack events in between or no?
I think he did.
He contemplated it.
He said it was first day he was playing some other events.
He did. Yeah. All right, guys.
What else is he going to do out there?
Well, there's a lot of trouble you could get into.
He's not going to go to the pool.
Yeah. David Page, driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's the general manager now. She'll take care of you, I promise. You can check out their entire selection of certified pre-owned and new vehicles right on their website. Check them out at BMWofFairfax.com. Make sure you mention me, please. That'll help you, and it will help me. All right, guys, this is a weird story. You know, it's all Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry recently. They split up. We talked about yesterday how she was showing off her revenge bod, her bikini bod. Well, apparently, she is kind of vacationing, co-parenting together with Orlando Bloom. They were spotted, I guess, at one of the million Jeff Bezos, Lauren Sanchez boat parties. Like just yesterday, they're on the same boat together. How weird is that? He's out hollering at all the chicks. She was, I guess she was seen kind of, you know, in her revenge bod, talking to other dudes just a couple days ago. And now they're together on the same boat with the Bezos Sanchez party.
But they were hanging out or they're just in separate groups?
they were there together. I mean, they were kind of photographed like in the same vicinity. Sure, they weren't chatting it up a ton, but they were there. It's so weird. I guess that's what happens, though, when you have kids. You got to do some co-parenting. I guess they brought the kids. Is that what that means?
I think they did.
Sharon Osbourne's in the news, of course. There's still details coming back from the Black Sabbath farewell concert. And she's not naming the band, but she says she did disinvite a greedy band from the farewell concert. She says the unnamed group wanted to make a profit. It's not time to make a profit. She says after the show, she'll let everybody know who it was. I think they'll be shocked. Nobody has heard yet. But there were performances from Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Jack Black was there. Dude, I saw something. I don't know if this is true, but that Jack Black is worth something like $600 million. Is that possible?
He's been in a lot of these animated movies.
Is that possible? Like, his net worth is absurd.
Is it really?
Well, he's and got he that. Drives like an old Honda or something.
They did a bunch of Kung Fu Pandas.
Maybe. Maybe he's met, I can't remember. I mean, probably is something like that. Like, he's been in a couple of these just like
Jumanji.
Massive, a couple of these massive movies.
But I see here 50 million when I punched it up.
Okay.
But you never can rely on what they say here.
On the internet.
But yeah, Kung Fu Panda
and Jumanji.
I was going to guess it's way more than 50.
A ton of his money. And he's just one of these guys that I guess came from nothing. And, you know, I'm sure he has a nice house and everything, but I think he kind of like doesn't really flaunt the wealth at all. Every time I ever see him, he dresses like a pig.
Is he married?
Don't know the answer to that. Don't know. Michael Douglas was recently interviewed, says he has no plans to return to acting again. He hasn't worked since 2022. He does say there is a project that he's working on, maybe to help finance or whatever, small independent film. But no plans to act. What is he? He's got to be in his 80s. He's 80 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's just supporting his wife at this point, Catherine Zeta-Jones, and whatever she does. Denise Richards.
What's his best line uttered in any movie, EB?
Something about money.
Greed is good.
Yes. Yeah, greed is good.
I just want to see if EB would get it.
Whatever. I could get it eventually. Denise Richards.
Do you remember his character name in that movie?
I mean, if I had... Gordon, all day to think
GG.
Gordon Gekko. If I had all day to think about it, maybe I could. Denise Richards' husband has filed for divorce months after she revealed he helps her run her OnlyFans account. Who's the one that said that her son helps her with her OnlyFans and like posts her pictures? I think it's like the lady from the Sopranos. Drea De Matteo, is that her name?
Yeah.
She has her son post photos. That's
I think
weird.
So. Like her teenage son helps pick the photos and post them for the OnlyFans.
I think you'd like the storyline of Denise Richards' husband. I believe she used to brag that he had a big dong.
Oh, really?
Why would he like it?
Why would I like that? What do I care?
See? What's he care?
He just likes stories.
I think it's funny. I think that's funny.
Exactly.
I used to think mine was pretty good. Now I think as I'm getting older, I've lost some confidence. Lost some confidence, unfortunately.
I don't even know if I have one anymore.
Right. And last but not least, they're saying Cardi B may have the BBL smell. Valdez, can you hip us to what the BBL smell is?
So there's a her and Stefan Diggs broke up.
Or oh, they did?
I think
because people she had smelly BBL?
Well, they're saying that Diggs broke up with her because she has a smelly BBL. Which means your butt gets so big, it's hard to clean.
Well, they say, what is the cause of the BBL smell? One of the main causes is fat necrosis. This occurs when transferred fat cells do not receive enough blood supply and begin to die. The breakdown of these fat cells can produce a rancid smell, as well as localized inflammation and an increased risk of infection. In some cases, small pockets of liquefied fat or fluid collections known as seromas can also contribute to the odor if not properly managed.
Well, this Beverly Hills surgeon, though, says it's harder to wipe down there because there's more to reach around.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to get in there.
That,
in the crevices.
That could be the case, too.
It's hard to get into those crevices.
Imagine I'm breaking up with you because you have smelly butt.
That's terrible.
Let's get terrible. A bidet.
It's probably not the only thing that smells.
Yeah, get a bidet. Come on, sweetheart. Get a bidet. You can afford one.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. If you want to chime in throughout the show, you can always hit us up at 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. EB, you're playing golf today?
I play nine before the
storm. I think it's going to be like 90 heat index tickling 100.
I mean, I don't love that, but it's going to
be
going to storm every day this week.
I heard this
including
morning.
Today.
105 index today. Today's the best chance for the big storms. 80%, and then it dwindles a little bit the rest of the week.
Is it usually, though, in the earlier part of the day, by evening?
Yeah, early evening, like dinner time, happy hour time.
That's the worst. I think we have
the worst for you.
Well, swim meets?
It's 6 o'clock, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of the swim meets are
I mean, it kind of depends on where you are, but yeah, that's probably, that's when the humidity really, that moisture just builds up and builds and builds, and the humidity just causes a lot of storms across the area. So
I think it's just a general policy at any pool. If they see lightning, it shuts down for a half hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The worst case scenario is that you get a little here and there, you know, and then you're just lingering. You're waiting half hour. Oh, there's another one. Then you wait another half hour. Oh, there's another one.
Well, I'm already involved the worst case scenario because my daughter's doing butterfly, and that's usually one of the last events. They usually go freestyle, backstroke. I might be botching it. Breaststroke and butterfly is usually the last one.
Yeah.
So I already got to be there for the whole damn thing because I got to be there at the beginning for warm up.
Well, you could drop off for warm up.
Yeah, Gaithersburg.
Yeah, but this is like some sort of all-star event. I don't know.
Where are you?
You don't have to be there for the warm up, though.
Yeah.
Drop her ass off.
Yeah, but it's not right by my house.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Gaithersburg. I'm just using Gaithersburg because I know that's closer to your house. 102 at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's probably going to be 105 at 5 or 6.
Well, the thing is, it was supposed to storm around 2 today, but now I see, at least where I live, 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I could probably get 14 holes in, potentially, 15 holes. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe you get lucky.
Play it by ear. But I see all week just a catastrophe.
Chance of storms all week. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, dude, when you have the heat like this, and it's a no-brainer.
Hey, in a couple days, we're going to be paying attention to the Wizards Summer League. And we know that it doesn't mean anything, but you can't help but check it out.
Well, it does mean something. I saw Johnny Davis play one game, and I knew he was a bust. I knew he was a bust.
Yep.
Called it immediately.
Proved to be a bust.
Called it immediately.
What has been your take on Bronny James? Because he got in yesterday for 11 minutes.
Yeah.
And 11 minutes put up 10 points, 2 rebounds, and a steal.
I don't know. I feel like he settled in a little bit.
3 for 7, 2 for 5 on threes. Like, he's starting to show some promise.
I think he's settled in a little bit. I don't think he's ever going to be anything special. But I think he's settled in a little bit, right? He put up big numbers in the G League, actually.
Yeah, first
he
was
doing that last year.
Pretty embarrassing.
Yes.
I remember he got out of the gates and he was shooting like 1 for 21 on threes or something absurd like
and
that.
And then it got to something reasonable. I think he settled in a little bit. I mean, clearly, look, he's undersized. He's not his dad, but he is a great athlete. And, you know, you figure he could find a way. They keep giving him chances. The question would be, are they going to split them up? Is that going to happen? Is LeBron going to move on? Just have Bronny just kind of fend for himself?
I would be shocked if LeBron was traded or signed with somebody else and Bronny stayed with the Lakers.
I feel like LeBron likes to mess with people, right? He was photoed in Cleveland wearing a coming home hat, I believe it was, which was an old hat, and he's coming home. I think he was there for a charity golf tournament. And then he took a picture with somebody at the facility. I think he likes keeping his name out there messing with people.
See, LeBron was out there trying. He's kind of experimenting with golf lately. Did you see that?
Yes.
Putting himself out there on social media, put his golf swing out there. See if you can find a new pastime.
What did you think of his swing?
I think I barely watched it. I mean, he's never played, so it's going to be dreadful.
Surprised it took him this long
to play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a humbling game. Most people don't like to take on a game that humbles you so much.
But a lot of athletes play it.
True.
You know, they like it.
But he's probably not used to failing. Like, he's going to fail in golf.
Yeah.
Plus, he's been all in everything you read about him. He's been all in on basketball.
Well,
like, spends, you know, right. tons of money on his body.
No, I know.
Like, works out all the time.
My guess is but Kobe Larry wasn't a big golfer.
Larry Fitzgerald, he did the same thing when he was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a
stud
golfer.
Steph Curry plays a lot. And he puts a lot of time in.
Yep.
No doubt about it. Is the Tahoe event coming up? I think the Tahoe event is, yeah, coming up. Because I saw...
Yeah, it's usually in July.
It's one of the celebs hit up one of my guys for some mental advice. He didn't say who it was, though.
I got to reach out to my man, Chris Heck at LIV, and see what's up with him.
So, yeah.
Definitely get some gear.
When are you going to get us hooked up? Yeah.
I know.
What's some gear? I want to just go out there and just cover an event
I know.
For a couple days.
He wants us to.
Does he?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much they'll pay, but...
I don't care about paying, but I mean, let's just go out there. I want to broadcast.
Well, I know, but someone's got to pay for the travel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, he could do that.
I don't know.
We'll see. Saudi fund or whatever the thing's called? What's the thing called? The
IDF?
Whatever that Saudi fund is. They got the money?
Yeah. I don't remember the name. All right, we got to get out of here. Be Mitch and Finley. They're coming up next here on The Fan.